Good morning. It's 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. Reince Priebus is our guest this hour, the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and we're going to be talking about the party's state convention that was held in Stevens Point over the weekend. Whether it's the race for the White House, congressional races, or Senate or state legislative elections, or even the race for Wisconsin governor in 2010, Republicans are talking strategy in what will most likely be a challenging year for the party. You can call in with your questions this hour. Our toll-free number is 800-642-1234. Or if you're calling from Madison, you can use the local number at 263-1890. Emails are always welcome at talk@wpr.org. What do you think of the Republican chances this fall? How's the party doing in Wisconsin? How will national politics affect what happens here? Or are we talking about two separate issues? We'll discuss all of these issues and more with our guest, Reince Priebus. Good morning and welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hey, good morning, Gene. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good to have you along. Well, I was checking in with some of the convention blogs over the weekend. And on the one hand, lots of optimism about what's going to happen this fall. And on the other hand, there's some worry there. There's some warnings from Republican leaders that Republicans have to start behaving like Republicans. How did you see the convention?
Well, I would say that both of those blogs that you're referring to are those sentiments, I think, is pretty accurate. I think, on one hand, you're hitting the nail on the head. And, you know, I'm going to, as I've done before with Joy, I'm not going to try and outspin the world here. And I think that we do have our work cut out for us. I think both historically, when you look at election cycles and how Americans act and how our state acts at different times and cycles, history has a way of coming around and repeating itself. And I think that after the 2006 election, a lot of folks didn't give the Republicans a whole lot of hope in 2008. And now here we are, really about a year and a half later, outside of that election, we've got a presidential candidate in John McCain that if the election was held today, most polls would say that not only would John McCain be the next president, he would win today, and he would win the state of Wisconsin, the first time since 1984 that a Republican won the state of Wisconsin. We're doing quite well. So I believe, and he is a great candidate. There's no doubt about it that even my most liberal friends would tell me that in a year when it was only thought that the Democrats would win, John McCain is about the worst nightmare for the Democrats to be dealing with this year because he's a very likable guy. He's a person that Republicans, Democrats, and independents tend to like and trust, which is very important in politics. We can talk a little bit about that later. And he's somebody who most voters find appealing. He's a candidate that it's not so easy to just say, hey, Iraq, 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 vote for the Democrat, because at the end of the day, John McCain is a guy, when it comes to military experience and the issue of our armed forces, that people trust. And I think even Democrats would say that John McCain would make a great commander-in-chief. So the Democrats have a problem, and John McCain is their problem. That transcends to all of the races. When the top of the ticket does fairly well, the rest of the ticket does fairly well. It's a political fact, and it's something that is going to help the Republican Party. Now, as to your second point, which was that there was a sentiment that, you know, through the weekend, hey, Republicans need to start acting like Republicans.
Yeah, what's that mean exactly?
Well, what it means is that Republicans recognize that in 2006, one of the reasons why Republicans took it on the chin, it wasn't just because Bush's popularity was down or that the Iraq war, the anti-war sentiment was sweeping the country. That certainly was part of it. But it was also because Republicans themselves felt that the Republican Party and its leaders in the legislatures, both statewide and nationally, let them down and didn't hold true to what the Republican Party is about, which is generally lower taxes, less government, economic opportunity. And we had a Congress and we had state legislatures around the country that were spending too much money. And in many cases, the Republicans in Congress and in the legislatures around the country were part of that problem. So at the same time that we've got a very targeted race in Wisconsin for president, we also have the continuing battle within the Republican Party to rebuild the Republican Party, to rebuild the brand and the credibility of the Republican Party. And that's happening. So,
yeah, I heard over the weekend, I heard a lot of young people, young Republicans being pointed out, you being among them, you know, as being sort of the future of the Republican Party in Wisconsin.
Well, I hope to be, and I think I am, and I think I kind of try to capture the true situation that we have in the Republican Party. Instead of, I'm a very optimistic person. I think we're going to do great in November. I think this party is coming around. I think our candidates are recognizing that in many ways some of the candidates and some of the people who were elected lost their way a little bit in regard to upholding the real principles of our party. But at the same time, I'm very optimistic, but I'm not willing to just simply spin everything into some, you know, cotton candy and vanilla ice cream convention and just say everything's just great and everything's perfect. I think that it takes a lot of work. I think that this election is going to be a huge challenge, and it's going to take not just great candidates, but it's going to take a tremendous amount of work within the Republican Party and our volunteers to deliver. But we do have a ton of energy, and there's a lot of optimism. And, you know, like going back to what I first said, John McCain is a perfect candidate at this time for us to win, and he is going to help us tremendously.
Okay, we've got to take a break right now. When we return, we'll continue our discussion. The State Republican Party held its convention over the weekend, and we're talking with Reince Priebus. He is the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm filling in this morning for Joy Cardine. And we're talking this hour about the State Republican Party of Wisconsin. The party held its state convention in Stevens Point over the weekend. And Reince Priebus is with us this hour, the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And we began the hour talking about some of the challenges facing the party and kind of the mood of party members in Stevens Point. And Reince Priebus, I guess the question I have for you before we get to some calls right here is, you're telling me that you recognize that there is a challenge coming up this fall and everybody's going to have to work hard. Is that sentiment widely shared among party members, or are you sort of someone who's trying to get their attention and say, listen, we do have a lot of work this fall?
No, I think I present an accurate view of the mood of the party is that people are very optimistic, but they also know it's going to take a lot of work. Our fundraising and our activism within the party is very, very solid. In fact, I think our fundraising is at a very high level at the moment, so that's always a good indicator from where people are at, and our convention attendance was solid. We had a great time on Friday night with Governor Tim Pawlenty coming in and having almost 380 people at that dinner up in Stevens Point. Hospitality suites after that, and that's generally a real fun night of just talking and having a good time with all of our members there. And then Saturday, we began the day with a prayer breakfast that we traditionally do at the Republican Party, and Scott Walker spoke at that event. And then we go into our floor session, which is really kind of both administrative and a time to hear from different Republican leaders around the state. And the RNC chairman from Washington had given a keynote address. We had a specific welcome from Newt Gingrich, and we had a Senator McCain video as well that was tailored for the state of Wisconsin. And then we had the Women's Federation luncheon. And then after that, we went through resolutions and our platform and a lot of the debates that we have within the Republican Party, and then we concluded. So it was pretty much about a day and a half, and It was a very solid, it was a great weekend.
Let's go to some calls right now, and a reminder to listeners, if you'd like to join in, you can do so at 800-642-1234. If you are calling from the Madison area, our number is 263-1890, and you can email us, talk@wpr.org. Reince Priebus is our guest this hour, the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. The party held its convention in Stevens Point over the weekend. We're talking about that and where the party goes from here as we head towards the fall elections. Let's go to Ray right now. Ray joins us from New London, and good morning.
Hello. I kind of disagree with what Reince is saying. True conservatives are not backing John McCain. Personally, myself, I am moving away from the Republican Party. It's kind of like what Ronald Reagan said about the Democrats. He said that he didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left him, and I'm tired of wasting my vote on a party that's not going to do what they always promised the evangelicals and the conservatives. I mean, they get in and they spend more money than the Democrats did. They feel like they got the ability to because they think that the Republicans are just going to be standing in line just to vote for them every single time. And
I don't know what's happening to Ray's call, but I think, Reince Priebus, you got the gist of it. And I have to say, particularly if you listen to a lot of talk radio these days, Ray's viewpoint is not he's not alone.
No, I don't think he is alone either, and I certainly got the gist of Ray's point, and that certainly is an issue that we talked about right off the bat on the call, and I know Joy and I have talked about this and what we're talking about, rebuilding the credibility and the trust within the Republican Party. A lot of folks feel like there sure was too much spending, both in state legislatures around the country and in Washington, and in many respects, both parties. Obviously, the Democrats were leading the charge, but in many cases, they were dragging some Republicans with them in winning some of these spending battles and tax battles. And that's the problem, you know. And what we try to remind people is that Ray's comments are not do not represent a majority or a sentiment that prevails within the Republican Party, but it is a sentiment that has to be dealt with. And I think when you look at this election, Gene, if I may just take a minute to respond specifically to what Ray is talking about, as far as evangelicals go, this election's an absolute no-brainer. You know, I feel like I hear where Ray is coming from, but I'm not willing to check my brain at the door. When you've got George Bush and you've got a Republican Senate who approved Judge Alito, who's now Judge Alito and Judge Roberts, and Roberts now the Chief Justice, these guys are conservative judges. There is really no legislation. There is no act that's more important for evangelicals and conservatives in this country than appointing conservative Supreme Court justices to the Supreme Court. I mean, it's an absolute no-brainer that John McCain would do much better for evangelicals and conservatives when it comes to the Supreme Court than a Senator Barack Obama or Senator Clinton. That's number one. Number two, on the issue of the economy and taxes, one of the things I try to remind Republicans and people out there that are concerned about this issue, number one, John McCain's never voted for a tax increase in his life. John McCain's never voted for an earmark in his life. John McCain's never requested a pork barrel project for the state of Arizona in his life. He's promised to veto any earmark or appropriations bill that has a pork barrel project in it right off the bat. We have a time now, Gene, when it costs 18 cents for every dollar made in this country to run the federal government. When my son, who's three, is my age, without doing a thing more, nothing more in this country, just government staying as it is, it's going to cost 40 cents for every dollar made to run the federal government. Now, you have a candidate in Barack Obama who's proposing $1 trillion in more spending and taxes. You have two candidates, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, proposing the biggest expansion in government history when it comes to government-run health care. So while I understand what Ray is saying, and believe me, I deal with it, and in many cases I agree with it, we can't check our brain at the door. This election is a no-brainer when it comes to the issues of who's going to be more conservative with your dollar and who's going to be better for people like Ray, who are concerned about issues of morality and an evangelical platform.
We've got about 2 minutes left before the break, but when you're talking about rebuilding credibility within the party, you've only got a limited amount of time to do that over the course of the summer as we head into the fall. How do you do that in such a compressed period of time? And I hear what you're saying, but you're sort of one person, and how do you get that message to everybody that this time it's for real, that we mean it, that we are going to be Republicans who are acting Republican?
Well, I think that you have to do it at the same time, and it's a challenge. But I do believe that what you have in this country and what you've had very quickly in our state is an absolute power grab by many of the Democrats. For example, in our own state, the Democrats last summer proposed an $18 billion new tax increase. In the state of Wisconsin, a $15 billion government-run health care program. And Mike Hipshin, the Republicans in the legislature, did a great job of batting that back and fighting that battle all summer and showing very clearly once again the differences in this state between the Republicans and the Democrats. I think that in many cases, if the Democrats were smart over the past year, they should have just hung low in the bushes and just waited for this election to come by, but they didn't do it. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's requested $400 billion in new taxes. She came back for a $1.3 trillion proposal in new taxes. And those are the types of things that take the Democratic Party off base and also highlight the differences between the Republicans and Democrats at a time when the Democrats shouldn't be allowing the Republicans to show those differences so clearly once again. But they did it.
We've only got about a minute before the break, and I want to ask a question. You mentioned Speaker Hipsch a few seconds ago, and there is always that coattail effect between what's happening on the national scene and what happens in Wisconsin. But are Wisconsin Republicans positioned well enough so that if McCain doesn't do well, they can still stand on their own 2 feet?
Well, yes, I definitely believe that, because many of the most targeted areas within the assembly are in areas that are going to take, door-to-door, barn-by-barn, voter-by-voter type campaigning. And the types of candidates that I know that are being recruited are the types of people that understand that. But I do think the coattail effect, which we can talk about after the break a little bit, is something of a political fact, and it is very difficult to run up against the grain in many down-ballot races. So I happen to believe that the presidential election is extremely important.
And we'll have to leave it there, Ryan, so I'm afraid we do have to take a break.
Yep.
I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network. Good morning. 25 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm Gene Purcell, filling in today and for the rest of this week for Joy Cardine. Ryan Priebus is with us this hour. He is the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and we've been talking about the party state convention that was held in Stevens Point over the weekend, and also talking about where the party goes as we enter the summer and fall elections. We've got room for your calls if you'd like to join in. We'll get to those calls in just a moment. 800-642-1234. In Madison, it is 263-1890, and you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And Ryan Priebus, right before the break, we were talking about the whole issue of the coattail effect and the effect a national election has here in Wisconsin. And I believe you were trying to make the point that state Republicans are pretty well positioned to move regardless of what happens on the national front.
Yeah, I think they're well positioned. But to follow up my point, though, at the end of the day, top of the ticket matters.
Mm-hmm.
And how a presidential candidate does in this state is going to matter how the rest of the elections how the rest of them go. And certainly you candidates that working in the Assembly and the State Senate can certainly run against the grain. A guy like Brett Davis in the Assembly, he's a great example of a person who wins elections even though the top of the ticket in many cases, were in the low 40s in his district, but yet he was able to run against the grain and get over 50%. That's difficult to do, but it can be done. I do believe that John McCain is going to be helpful to Republicans working in the Senate and the Assembly, because it's just a political fact that if your top of the ticket does well, there is a trickle-down effect down on the ballot. And it's actually fairly rare to see highly contested races where your top of the ticket is, in one area, and then your bottom of the ticket jumps the top of the ticket and has a different outcome. It's really not common in a highly contested race. So that's why we feel good, because at the end of the day, John McCain is very saleable in Wisconsin. People like John McCain, and I heard on your news, this is the new Democratic mantra is to link McCain to Bush. But the problem with that is people just don't buy it. People know that John McCain was not a guy who was in the hip pocket of George Bush. And as much as all the Democrats are going to try to point out that he was, people know that John McCain was not that kind of guy. And that's a lot of the reason why I believe that he's doing so well in the polls. We had a show, Gene, maybe about 10 days ago with Joy Cardine in regard to the Wisconsin Public Radio poll that was done with St. Norbert.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see in that poll and every poll is that while the popularity of the president is low and the popularity of Nancy Pelosi is low and all this sort of anti-incumbency fevers out there, you have John McCain, who even though Bush is low, is, if the election was held today, would beat Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. That's because McCain transcends the downside or the unpopularity at the moment of the president. So it's just not sticking. It's not working because people know better.
Let's find out what listeners think. Apollo is with us now from Milwaukee. Good morning.
I'd like to thank you,
Good morning.
The chairman. You're doing an A-plus job. Your honesty is refreshing. I'm a lifetime conservative. I have 2 points real briefly. I'm going to swing the bat. I'm a conservative for McCain. You know why? Because I don't want to lose these wars. If we get these liberals in there, they're going to retreat from Iraq and Afghanistan. The prior caller, Ray, yes, John McCain is not your perfect conservative. You have to hold your nose because true conservative patriots don't retreat from terror. And second part, I would like to ask the chairman with honor and thank you for your service. The vice president, can he be Arnold Schwarzenegger? Is he Austrian boy disqualified? He can't be vice president?
Yeah, he would be disqualified.
Who do you think vice president, what are the names McCain's throwing around?
The names that I'm, thank you, by the way, the names that I'm hearing thrown around, obviously Tim Pawlenty from Minnesota. And you know, Minnesota, a lot of folks don't think about Minnesota as being a potential Republican state, but they have a Republican governor, they've got a Republican U.S. senator, which is more than we have, and, you know, their voting habits in Minnesota are a lot very similar to Wisconsin, where they love that independent maverick type, and they can go Republican as well. The other folks that I hear about are Charlie Crist, of course, in Florida. And, you know, I'll tell you, Paul Ryan is not that far-fetched. I know that a lot of folks around here, it's always odd when you hear someone real close to home being mentioned like that. You're not sure whether it's serious or not, but I know that Paul Ryan is on that short list. I had heard early on that Mel Martinez from Florida was being discussed, and he has a similar Schwarzenegger issue. And that kind of candidate would be very strong as well. You've got Florida in play. He's also Hispanic, so that helps and some of the issues affecting Hispanics across the country. So I've heard his name or folks like that. So it's hard to say. I know for sure, though, that when picking a vice presidential candidate, John McCain obviously is going to pick somebody younger. He's going to pick somebody who is an economic conservative, and he's probably going to pick somebody from a state that's a swing state. And that's why you hear names like Paul Ryan and Tim Pawlenty and Charlie Crist, because they're economic conservatives, they're younger, and they're from swing states.
Let's take another call right now. Andy is with us from Middleton. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Andy.
One of the things that I have problems with is that I think the and probably both parties are rife with corruption, but certainly you look at John McCain and he was involved with the Keating Five, and you know, he was cleared, but you know, you kind of wonder, because one of the main beneficiaries of that was one of George Bush's brothers. And the other thing that I have a problem with is you know, this speaker had made a comment that John McCain had never voted for a tax increase. Well, he voted. He thought that George Bush's idea of a tax cut for the wealthy was ill-conceived, and I certainly think that that ought to be rolled back, because I can't have a lot of sympathy for those people making over $200,000 to $300,000 a year and feel that they're overtaxed. They're undertaxed. If you compare the amount of tax that they're paying as compared to the percentage of tax that the guy making less than $50,000, there's no comparison. And the other point on the Supreme Court is that it's kind of troubling to me to see that, and I'm Catholic, it's kind of troubling to me to see that that five of the Supreme Court judges are Catholic. And I don't think that, you know, you may say that that abortion is wrong and you need a conservative judge up there, but you don't hear anything about providing those people that you say should not have an abortion. You do not say anything about providing them with health care that is adequate to take care of that child once it's born. That's about where I stand.
A lot of issues there, Andy. Thanks for the call. And early on, Andy started talking about Senator McCain and the Keating Five. That goes back, 20
yeah.
some odd years. But
yeah.
as I recall, I mean, he was involved with that. But I read something else about him sometime later where he thought that was the biggest mistake he ever made. And what one of the things that drives him these days is the memory of what happened back then.
Yeah, I mean, to put in perspective and how ridiculous this is, I think I was in third grade when that broke. So, you know, I think the Democrats are going to have a hard time if they start, you know, digging up bones up in the attic like the Keating Five to try to attack John McCain. Because, again, people are not going to buy the fact that John McCain is some corrupt guy. People think of John McCain, at the very least, to think of an honest guy who served his country with valor and honor. And people generally like John McCain. The other problem that the caller is going to have with this candidate is that no matter what Hillary Clinton does, it's pretty obvious, I think, at this point, that Barack Obama is going to be the candidate of the Democrats. And I think the Democrats are finding out that they've got a very marginalized candidate, potentially a fringe-type candidate in Barack Obama. And he's going to have, if this race turns out to be the battle of who can throw more mud, I wouldn't want to be Barack Obama. But you see, here's the thing. I don't think that the race is going, I think it's not going to be as muddy as people have seen in the past. I don't think John McCain is too interested in getting in the mud with the Democrats. So I think that's going to be refreshing. I think people are going to credit John McCain for that. And in regard to the Supreme Court issue, obviously that's a huge topic, but I just say this, that I think Barack Obama's position on abortion, where he's been seen on videos saying that, well, if his daughters got pregnant, he wouldn't want to punish them for the rest of their lives, is a fundamental difference in what you perceive to be life and what you perceive to be proper. John McCain doesn't believe in abortion on demand, and he doesn't believe in partial birth abortion, and Barack Obama does, and I think that Barack Obama's opinions are far too extreme for most Americans, and all that's going to come out. And we're just going to fundamentally disagree on that, because I believe that life begins at conception, and people have basic constitutional rights starting at conception and ending at death.
And we've got to take a break right now. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
This week on Chapter Day, Carl Schmidt is reading again from The Poet of Tolstoy Park by Sonny Brewer. It's the story of a 67-year-old man who is diagnosed with a terminal illness, but whose response is to read Tolstoy, reassess his life, and perfect his soul. Join us for Chapter Day at 12:30 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 8, the apparent rivalry between China, India, and Japan is illusion, and they are actually closely intertwined to influence markets and natural resources. After 8, we talk about the book Rivals, how the power struggle between China, India, and Japan will shape our next decade. That's up after 8 o'clock. For the rest of this hour, we continue our discussion with Reince Priebus, who is the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party. The party held its convention in Stevens Point over the weekend, and we've been talking about where the party is as we enter the summer elections and what is going to happen in the fall. Let's head back to phone calls right now, and Chris is with us in La Crosse. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Real briefly, I'm going to digress from my original comment. For Mr. Priebus to talk about Democratic mudslinging is ironic, coming from the party that's made really a habit of fear-mongering and mudslinging as a way of winning elections, is ironic to say the least. But I think if you look at the Republican Party's chances this fall, it's pretty clear by looking at the recent special congressional elections that they're in trouble. They tried this fear-mongering, mudslinging thing down in that recent congressional election in Mississippi, a district that had been strongly Republican, and they lost, and they lost big. I think the very simple question I have, or a thing to say to Mr. Priebus, is ask not for whom the bell tolls, Mr. Priebus, it tolls for your party.
Chris,
thank you. Good morning.
Thanks for the call. And Reince Priebus, there's somebody who he's referring
I can always tell when I say good morning and the person just launches into getting ready to, he's pulled the pin on his grenade about 10 minutes ago waiting to call in, which is fine. But the fact of the matter is, Chris, that when you have a presidential election and when you have on both sides of the aisle spending hundreds of millions of dollars getting their message out, analyzing a single congressional race in Mississippi in order to make your point that there's no way that the Republicans are going to be able to win because they couldn't win in Mississippi and Kentucky in two special elections, to me, it's just such political naivety that it's not even worth a response, but I gave you one anyway.
It did get a lot of folks in Washington pretty upset.
Well, sure, it gets them upset, but the fact of the matter is a presidential election's a different animal. And look, instead of fighting and arguing over what might happen in November, we'll find out what happens in November. And the fact of the matter is, for Chris, that if the election was held today in the state of Wisconsin that hasn't voted for a Republican president since 1984, guess what? John McCain would win. And largely due to the fact that the Democrats haven't been able to take care of their own house, and they've got two candidates, one, Hillary Clinton, who has negative approval ratings of about 48% to 49%, so she would be definitely a loser in a head-to-head election against John McCain. And now they find themselves when the midnight hour is ringing with a front runner in Barack Obama, who potentially could be a marginalized fringe candidate by the time November comes around. So, I mean, many of the problems the Democrats are having is because they fumbled the football and haven't been able to take care of business, and here they go. So we'll see what happens.
One of the other things you've mentioned a couple times, that if the race were to be held today, that Senator McCain would win Wisconsin. But of course, the race isn't going to be held today. How does the senator hold on to that lead throughout the 6 months? It seems like a short period of time, but a lot of things can change.
Well, absolutely, a lot can change, and I agree with you, Gene. It is silly to start looking at polls and say, this is what's going to happen in November. My only point is that you know, I've been honest here, you know, with you and Joy many times. We're not overplaying our hand. It is going to be a challenge. It is going to be difficult. Historically, it's supposed to be a Democratic year. My point is, when people call or when people get far too confident on the other side, it's important to remember that if it was so obvious and it was so clear that the Republicans weren't going to be able to win, then why, as we sit here today, is John McCain ahead in the polls? Now, there's a lot that's going to go on in the next 6 months. And there's a lot that we don't know about Barack Obama, and a lot of that's going to be discussed. But there's a lot that people don't know about both candidates. So I think the people in this country are going to learn a lot. I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of money spent, and it's probably going to be a polarizing election again, much like 2000 and 2004. So there's a lot that can come down and will come down. And it's just going to take a lot of work for both parties and supporters of both candidates to get their message out.
I was interested to see over the weekend, too, that we've been talking a lot about the presidential elections and what's going to happen this summer and fall, too. But there's also talk about what's going to happen in Wisconsin in 2010 in terms of the gubernatorial race. And I frankly didn't expect that to be such a hot topic at this point.
Yeah, well, certainly within the party, there is some maneuvering, and obviously candidates are being discussed by the party members as far as who would run for governor in 2010. We don't know what's going to happen in 2008, obviously, but our straw poll, I don't know if you saw the Wispolitics straw
poll. Yeah, I did.
Poll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and clearly Scott Walker ran away with the straw poll, and he seems to be a favorite among the party faithful and among the party apparatus as being the person who has a winning message, somebody who's handled the tax issue in Milwaukee County. You have a Republican winning 60% of the vote in Milwaukee County. It's actually pretty phenomenal that's happened. And also, when going back to what we talked about, Gene, in the very beginning of this conversation, which is within the party, building credibility on that tax message and that brand of the Republican Party, Scott Walker has real credibility there because that really is his issue. I mean, we all know, and whether you like it or not, or you think it's been effective or not, Scott Walker's issue has been, I'm not going to raise the tax levy. I'm going to freeze property taxes, and he's done it every budget he's presented to the county board since he's been in office. So he has credibility on the message that the party is trying to rebuild itself upon, and he's also a Republican that comes out of a very Democratic county, winning, you know, in landslides. So he is a very formidable candidate, and I think rightfully so at this point, the front runner in 2010.
But 2010's a real long way away, and I got to say,
you are right, Gene. It's a long way away, but as you also know, and as the listeners know, politics nowadays, and in many cases it's absolutely silly, is taking a tremendous amount of time. We've got these presidential candidates that, you know, it's hard to remember, but, you know, beginning of what, a year ago, at least, a year and 15, 16 months ago maybe, that these candidates were debating and these candidates were beginning their races in Iowa and doing debates on CNN and Fox News. And, you know, it is a little silly, but that's how long it takes to build a winning campaign and all those coalitions that you need.
As we get ready to wind up the hour here, we've got just about 2 minutes left. Here in Wisconsin, we've got the Senate and the Assembly, lots of things going on there. Any races that you're going to be keeping a particular eye on?
Well, I think that obviously the assembly races, Brett Davis's district that I mentioned before, Moulton's mm-hmm. district down in southwestern Wisconsin, we've got some good races there. But, you know, the 8th Congressional District really is going to be ground zero. We've got the John Guard race up there, the Kagan Guard race rematch, which, mm-hmm. again, I tell you, that district is slightly Republican, and we've got a Republican presidential candidate doing well. And generally, in presidential elections, the true vote comes out, so I think John Gard is going to do very well in that district. And the reason I call that district Ground Zero is because then you've got that Dave Hansen race up there being challenged by Chad Ferdat, which is a very strong candidate. You've got a lot of assembly races being challenged up there. So that Brown County stretching down to the 8th Congressional District area will be ground zero, and it's going to be led by John Gard. So we feel good about where we're sitting up there as well.
All right, and we'll have to leave it there. Reince Priebus, thanks for joining us this hour.
Thank you, Gene. I appreciate it, and thank you to the listeners.
Reince Priebus has been our guest this hour, the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. The party held its convention over the weekend, and we were talking about some of the ramifications of that and what the summer and fall holds for the party. Karen Prager produced this hour, and we had on-air production from Michelle Kofel. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can call the radio store. You can also listen to our web archives. You'll find them at WPR.org. And this story, this hour, should be posted by tomorrow. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.